If something doesn't fit you, it's on that item of clothing, not on you. So
it's
like
the clothes' fault.
Oh yeah. Jeans don't fit, bad cut.
That's
jeans
your fault.
Stretch, bad quality.
Fuck you, jeans. Mm-hmm,
exactly. It's not on you. It's on the pants.
It's on the goddamn pants.
Confidence, style, some moms have it. A lot of us feel like we don't.
So throw on your favorite Target sweater and join us for this first episode in the theme Mommy Image, where we maybe figure out how to dress ourselves.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast. Band of Mothers.
Welcome back, breeders.
Hello, breeders.
Welcome to our new series, Mommy Image.
We're not allowed to call it a series.
Welcome to our new series, Mommy Image.
You're such a rebel. Yes, we are moving on to a new theme.
Yes, and we're so excited for you guys to join us. First, we hope you enjoyed Well, That Happened. If you haven't had a chance to check out that series, just scroll down a little bit in your feed and start from the beginning. There's four amazing episodes there. And now we're moving into Mommy Image. We thought it was time to explore how we see ourselves physically, mostly physically, really, like the outward focus, because there's so much baked into how you look as a mom,
how you feel.
So much changes after you have a baby, and then reconciling that into a place of like actual self-acceptance is a lifelong journey.
Or remembering that we were women first, which is a big theme of this podcast. Do you remember when we went to New York the last time? We were in the East Village, and I just remember like sitting there and feeling 100 years old, but also looking at all of the youth in their like cute, confident outfits.
Yeah.
Like that aren't even, I mean, they weren't designer. It wasn't anything fancy. It was almost like, you know, shredded up, like whatever. But the confidence that we used to have as younger women versus like becoming a mom, feeling like you have to keep up with something, feeling like your body's different, all these kind of complicated things that happen once you become a mom. And I just always think about that trip when we were sitting there.
Well, that's funny. I mean, I would tend to agree with you, except, you know, reflecting back as we've been putting together these episodes, I'm actually realizing that those kids probably aren't confident either. You know, when I looked confident or maybe was more in my younger 20s, I still was racked with, I'm not wearing the latest clothes, or I'm not thin enough, or oh my gosh. Well, we'll get into that later. But like, no, I just think I think a lot of people in hindsight, you realize how great you looked or how foolish it was to worry about these things.
Oh, maybe.
And in the moment, it feels so ominous. And then I think as moms, it's just compounded with almost this inability to do a lot about it, whether it's time or finances or energy or even just where to start. And then is it really that important? You know, and that's, I think what we're going to explore with this series is all different aspects of mommy image, whether it's, you know, how you take care of your skin or how you take care of your physical health, and then the whole wellness and self-care thing that we always talk about. And, you know, even hair and aging and growing your hair out.
And Tracy going gray. May or may not be forcing me to get a colonic to tell you all about it. So that's in an upcoming episode where
we're going to do some live.
We're going to do some trying things that is out of our comfort zones to kind of tell you about some crazy wellness things that exist.
It's going to be priceless. It's all I really care about.
I'm terrified.
Anyway, so we're going to dive deep in all these things. There's so much to talk about in this space. And we're glad you're along for the ride.
So if you have been enjoying our podcast, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and click follow, because it's not called subscribe anymore.
And you might have been unsubscribed.
Yes, it is very possible that you've been unsubscribed. So please make sure that you are following.
Like, look right now.
And then
while
you're there, please leave us a review. Say something nice. We'd appreciate it. It really helps the podcast get in front of more people and more moms and helps us be able to exist in this space. So we would really appreciate that if you could do us a solid.
Yes, thank you. And a little click of those all five stars helps a lot too.
Yeah, five stars. And then follow us on the IG at Band of Mothers Official, because that's where you'll hear about each episode that's coming up and then be reminded that you need to follow and subscribe.
Yeah, totally.
Constantly.
And so this episode's going to be super fun. We've got a great interview with Heather Hope, who's a stylist here in Denver, and she's just got a very unique take on what that means. And we thought we would start off Mommy Image sort of looking at confidence and how that pertains to style, because sometimes they're closely intertwined. So we're going to talk about confidence and what that means. Talk with Heather. You'll hear that from our recent live show here in Denver. We've got a special bomb report coming up, and some awesome messages from you guys, which is our favorite part.
Telling your stories.
Yes.
So this bomb report is kind of an overview of all of the things that we're going to be exploring during Mommy Image, which includes plastic surgery, which includes style and fashion, which includes confidence. And if you've heard any of our previous bomb reports, we just find out answers about specific questions about the subject from moms just like you. And then we go through and tell you the results ultimately. So we did this one live at our Mommy Image show here in Denver, Colorado. We do a monthly live show that you'll be hearing parts of in all of these episodes. So we hope that you enjoy it.
Thank you guys to those of you who filled out our survey that we sent out yesterday, right during dinner. So appreciate that. We're going to talk about your results, and I think it'll just sort of set the stage for the rest of the conversation.
You're all positive for COVID. Just jokes.
Okay, so first of all, we asked if you feel consistent pressure to look good or pretty or thin or stylish, etc., where would you say you feel the most of that pressure coming from? And 37% each said myself. I get the most pressure from myself or from social media.
To be fair, one of the options was like my parents.
Sure.
So I'm proud of you guys. Let that shit go.
So you're working through some good stuff, but we all are still on the gram. And we'll, yeah. But I just think that that's interesting. So if a lot of us are finding pressure from ourselves to look a certain way, where's that pressure coming from? And how do we get rid of it?
Exactly.
Or how do we just embrace it, not so much as pressure, or, you know, instead just something that we're just proud of who we are? Wouldn't that be a wonderful idea?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So another question we asked is, do you consider yourself to be at your ideal weight? And no surprise, 68% of us said that we do not consider ourselves to be at our ideal weight. But tip of the hat to the 30% of you that feel great.
No, I'm really excited about that.
That's great. Fantastic. When asked how many pounds you think you should lose, think being the operative word, the average was between 10 and 20 pounds that people thought they needed to lose.
Which seems like a lot if you think about like a bowling ball. You know what I mean? If like you put it in perspective.
Or like how many Cheba Hut sandwiches I can eat.
For 10 pounds?
For 10 pounds. Yeah. It's like 10 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. So we asked on a scale of 1 to 5, how much does getting older bother you? About 40% of you said you're about a 3.
On a scale of 1 to 5.
Yes, yeah, so like a scooch.
That's interesting. You and I have very different takes on this, which I think you guys will learn tonight. Tracy's much more comfortable. I am much more vain.
I am vain. I am just, what the hell am I going to do about it?
I know, which is very healthy. I'm like, needles, please.
Yeah,
which we'll discover more about.
I mean, there's no room for Botox when I live on the compound and live out my hippie dreams. So, you know, I might as well just embrace
it. Might as well not start now because you can't keep it up.
Yeah, it's just all going to melt off my face when I'm milking goats anyway. So I might as well just like...
Speaking of, I am convinced that my filler dissolves during hot yoga. And if anyone has proof or information about that, I want to know because it's just a theory that I have.
I believe that, but that goes against my personal wish in life, which is that when you're out in the sun sunbathing or as we now call it, getting your vitamin D. I think that the sweat should be the fat, like bacon, and it should just come off you. Like, I feel like with the sun and your body, if you're soaking it all up, like, I feel like there should be some weight loss.
And then it should convert into energy, and we just save the fucking world.
I could do that off one thigh, so let's invent that. It. I love that. Okay, next we asked, on a scale of 1 to 5, how much do wrinkles bother you? And Shayna obviously answered 5.
Wrinkles aren't as bad as like the drooping of the jaw.
The drooping. Ahead. Okay. But it was about the same, about 2 to 3. It was an average of like 2 to 3 on a scale of 1 to 5. So everyone's got good a fairly job, healthy guys. Appreciation for wrinkles. So I'm into it.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys can join me on the compound. 48% of you do not dye your hair. About 52% of us do dye our hair.
Wow.
So 50-50. I'm surprised. As a natural blonde, I am always love to hear that people don't have to go to the salon every 5 weeks. But we asked you about going gray. And we asked, have you thought about going gray? 29% of you answered yes, and I'll just do it when it seems like it's time. And 20% of you have grown out your gray hair and love it. So I think that's super cool. I do want to point out that 20% of you said, nope, no way, man, I'm never going gray. So
okay,
just for balance. Makeup. 29% of us wear makeup every day, but like a basic 5-minute-ish routine. And 16% of us only wear makeup every now and then or when you feel like it.
Okay.
So definitely not every day, but you know, it is Denver, it's Colorado. So
We're crunchy.
We asked what the weirdest beauty procedure or hack you might have tried was. Nothing horribly concerning, except someone said that she put eggs in her hair. And I'm just now, as I read it, I realize that you mean like you cracked eggs, but I, for some reason, I imagined like larvae in your hair. Like all day long, I've been imagining like larvae in your hair for some reason. That's why Mommy Zombie was written, because toxins released through my feet in a foot bath. Dermaplaning, AKA shaving your face.
Come on. When are we all just going to openly talk about that we all shave our faces?
Oh my gosh. Never mind. I take it back. This is my favorite one. I use a pet nail grinder on some toenails that I have.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
The worst part about that is that you inhale it because it's so intense. You're like, like inhale your... No? No one else? On my dog. I'm doing it.
Rubbing lemon on my face to lighten wrinkles.
Oh.
And eyebrow regrowth. Surprise, it didn't work. I'm with you on that one. Yeah. So we asked if you guys had any sort of procedures done, Botox. There was a whole line of them. Not a lot of people have had things done, but 35% of us have had Botox.
Okay.
6.5% of us have done Kool Sculpting.
Ooh.
And about 13% of us, and myself included, have had chemical peels. We asked about how often you shop for clothes. I thought this was interesting. So it was really pretty much almost even between I only shop a few times a year, I shop to buy something new a few times a month, or I pick up random things at Target throughout the year. They were all just about equal. We asked where you usually shop for your clothes, and overwhelmingly 45.2% of people usually shop for their clothes at Target.
Wow.
Next was 30% of people shop online at mostly big box stores. So Nordstrom, Macy's. Mm-hmm. Are there any others left? I don't even know. And then after that, almost 26% of you said, I basically only wear athleisure. So just anywhere where I can buy the leggings.
Yes.
So that's a vibe. We asked if you're happy with the items in your closet. And 45% of you said yes and no. I love buying new clothes, so I'm always on the hunt for something new. And then 36% of you said, not really, but I don't know where to start on how to fix it. Because we can't just burn it all down and start over. So
thanks, mamas, for answering our survey. We love your honesty. It's so great to understand what everyone is thinking about these topics. You guys are awesome.
So I love either really big earrings or a hat, like a fall felt hat or a sun hat or a fedora. Somehow I just feel like it elevates your look without having to do makeup. It's super simple and easy. It just makes me feel super confident. I love wearing hats, but it takes a pretty like confident day to wear one. And when I do, I feel like $1 million. And it seems like the world responds. I've always been a fan of big earrings, like really big. And I always get really great compliments on them. So that's probably why those are my go-to.
When I think about how my confidence or style has changed since becoming a mom, I would say that I'm definitely more confident. Not because of my style, though. I've always worked from home, and so I tend to wear more of the stretchy pants and the hoodies and, you know, the tennis shoes, the comfortable clothes. But when I feel my best sometimes is when it's like fall or winter and I'm able to still wear that stuff, but then I can throw on like a cool jacket, longer jacket that I have with a scarf and like a cute little hat, maybe some boots, and you know, then I'm feeling good. It's tough because how many times do we even look in the mirror? You know, when you have kids, I feel like you're just so busy, and or if you're working and being a mom, I just kind of wake up and I barely even look in the mirror. So I don't even think about style or how I look until I walk out the door sometimes.
Hello, band of mothers. I would say I feel most confident when I'm in an outfit that is kind of true to the duality in my life. I'm a fun mom, but also a vice president at an ad agency. So my go-to outfit is a sassy graphic t-shirt, my favorite says, mascara and coffee, and on top of it, a blazer that I had tailor-made for me in Hong Kong. It's a bit of a high-low look. I love it, keeps them guessing, and I can go from boardroom to playground and feel great in both places.
Heather Hope found the House of Color franchise when she turned 40. She had a newborn son and a 2-year-old daughter, plus a rewarding executive role in PR and marketing, but she had lost her mojo. Through House of Color, knowing her best colors and developing her personal style has helped her feel more confident, energetic, authentic, and visible. She brought the personal styling franchise to Denver 2+ years ago and loves giving clients the tools to amplify their natural beauty. We interviewed Heather live on stage here in Denver at our last show. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome, Heather Hope.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Okay, so tell us, we know kind of what you do, but why did you decide to go into this line of work specifically?
So I have a background in PR, marketing, communication, nonprofit, and I worked with a lot of female CEOs who had it all figured out in terms of what to wear, and they outsourced it to professionals. And I lost my mojo when I had my kids and I turned 40, and I realized that everyone can have access to a stylist. Everyone can feel really good about themselves, show up in a way that's confident, that's authentic, that's real. And there's a lot we can do to counteract the negative images that we get through social media and the negative pressure that we put on ourselves as well.
Okay, that's amazing. So you think everyone should have access to a stylist? Because that seems, to be perfectly frank, like very daunting
and like something that none of us have access to? And also, are you judging what I'm wearing?
No. No, I'm not judging you at all. No, I really feel like there's a lot of help that people need to get over the negative body image, over the messages that we get from retail, and just over the negativity in social media to really kind of figure this out. And so that's what I kind of view myself as, a Sherpa to help people navigate kind of the minefields of fashion, because it's really confusing.
It is so confusing. So what are some of the negative messages we get from retail? That's a fascinating sentence.
Well, I think first we have to think about the negative images that we have personally, and then get into society, and then get into retail. So first is, like, as women, we get this message that we're either too much or we're not enough.
Okay.
Then we get this message of perfection and this idea of, like, I have to be this figure eight. I have to have it all, mm-hmm. right? And then you go to retail, and retail kind of sows these seeds of dissatisfaction and tells you to buy, buy, buy. And then you pile on top of that social media, where it just amplifies this message of this desire for perfection. And then no wonder people are confused about what to wear and how to feel good about themselves.
Right. So do you kind of just generally think we're all dressing ourselves wrong? Or, like, not wrong in the sense of, like, poorly, but just, like, incorrectly for our body type, or, like, what actually makes us look our best?
So I guess I would back it up and say there's two different things that we're talking about. One is fashion, and that's, like, what you get in the stores. That is what you see online. That is what retail forces on us. And then there's personal style. So personal style is you and the nonverbal message that you want to share, what's on the inside that should be reflected externally, your personality. That's why it's called personal style. It's you. It's your lifestyle, how you spend your time. It's your aspirations, what you aspire to do. And it's your body architecture and honoring that and celebrating that and kind of getting out of the negative head talk space around your body image.
So
there's a lot to personal style.
Yeah.
And we just get fed fashion.
Right, because I may not want to wear a crop top and corduroy and a corduroy skirt.
Yes, you do.
No,
that is where the judging might come in. Right.
Right. So your philosophy, if I'm hearing this right, then is that we don't necessarily have to meet fashion where it's at the moment, but actually figure out what our personal style is.
Yeah. Like, do you really want to be Laura Ingalls Wilder and Gunny Sack Girl? And you might.
No, Shayna and I have been saying this. What is with the Mormon chic at Target right now?
Like, no.
If that speaks to you and you feel like that is something that you want to portray, go for it. But if you're going to pick up diapers or buy coffee or do what you do at Target, and then you're picking up what you get at Target to put on your body, that might be reflective of what fashion wants you to do, but not reflective of who you really are. So then you get into this feeling of, like, being inauthentic and feeling like you're wearing a costume. And then that's when you're asking yourself, does this work for me? Am I old enough for this? Am I too old for this?
Yeah.
Can I pull this off? And
yes,
anytime you're asking, can I pull this off? Then it's probably not authentic
to
you.
Feel like you're wearing a costume. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just generally how I feel when I look at, like, Forever 21. Like, it's, like, not...
So, newsflash, you're not 21 anymore, so...
No, I'm not. But they're selling t-shirts that I wore when I was 21.
So now I can jump there.
So now I'm confused. I'm like, Def Leppard, I know them! Okay, so we talk about external appearance. So it can be exhausting. It can be expensive. Clothes are just complicated. So, like, I mean, where do you tell people to start? You talked about body architecture, which I think is very interesting. And then when you and I talked before this, you said something very profound to me, which I'll let you say, which is your permission to be, well, you just told me you should have permission to be seen, which I have been thinking about that all week, like, permission to be seen, which I think is very interesting. So explain that a little bit and how that weaves into body architecture and just, like, choosing your clothes for you.
There is this thing about being a woman where you get these messages that you should be perfect, and you get these messages that you're either too much or you're not enough. And then you shift into caregiving mode. And so you put yourself behind and you put all the people you love and you care for up forward. And then you kind of settle into, well, I'm just going to not focus on myself and I'm going to step out of the spotlight. And so then what happens is you just kind of give up in terms of like being, you become invisible. So you just kind of blend into the background. And so the idea is you need permission to step forward, to be your best self, to feel like you can portray that with authenticity, to be real about who you are. The whole point is getting comfortable in your own skin, right?
Right.
And like settling into, am I going to be gray or not? Am I going to have wrinkles or not? Like, I'm probably never going to have the boobs that I wanted to have. Like, so I just need to come to terms with some of those things and decide to be visible and give myself permission to invest in myself and to be comfortable in my own skin.
So how do you invest in yourself? It sounds, again, like very daunting. I'm not like trying to be negative. It's just like, you know, we hear these things and I would love to just look like what's her face on House of Cards and Celine suits all the time, but that's just not realistic.
So
I'm very glad I'm not married to Kevin Spacey for obvious reasons.
You want to look like Robin Wright Penn or Robin
Wright?
Oh my
gosh,
Wright?
Yes.
Yeah. But then you want to milk goats. So
yeah,
that's,
I want to milk
not,
goats.
That's like not with your goat milking.
You're right. You're right. Maybe that was 2019 Tracy wanted to look like Robin Wright Penn. 2021 Tracy wants maxi dresses and milk goats. Yeah.
So I guess the first thing is give yourself permission to be visible, to be authentic in who you are. Think about who you are and what the nonverbal message is that you want to convey. There's a lot of power that comes in to the nonverbal. And so 75% of what we say is related to our nonverbal. And not the words we use, but how we appear. And we're hardwired to judge each other or be judged based off of appearance. We do it with books, we do it with houses. So you have to kind of come to terms with who you are on the inside and how you want to send that message externally. So are you spunky and fun-loving? Are you more serious? Are you nurturing? You know, there's a variety of ways to think about who you are on the inside. And then you start to think about the story that your clothing can tell through what you wear and this idea of coming to terms with being authentic.
So not necessarily how I want people to see me and like think that I've got it all together, but actually say, who am I and express that through my clothes.
Yeah.
So it's like reversing it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I find myself when I shop, it's like, well, are people going to take me seriously in this? Or am I going to look like I'm not a hot mess on the inside, but not necessarily does this tell the world I want to just milk goats.
So you have to think about what's on the inside that you want to communicate externally. And then you also do have to think about the outside. So you talked about body architecture.
Yeah.
So can we stop calling our bodies apples and pears? And can we stop referring to ourselves as fruit? So that's the first thing. The second is this idea of balance and proportion. So we respond to shapes. We respond to triangles as being very dramatic, squares as being very structured, circles as being very nurturing. And so if I love to look at my clients and see the shapes that I see in their body and in their faces and understand their proportions so I can help them then create the balance that might be missing. Because none of us are truly in balance and none of us are truly in proportion, but we can do all these visual tricks of the eye.
There's an Instagram filter for that.
Oh, see, that's the other thing too. Like, don't even get me started around like social media and this like desire for perfection, right?
Okay, so let's talk about, there's so much to talk about this, but let's talk about some tips. Like, what are some tricks that you can give us, like, when we're definitely not at Target picking up a Target sweater? What are some tricks that we can, like, think about in our heads? And then how do you tell what shape you are?
Okay, so sometimes you need somebody outside of you to look at you from behind and to look at the shapes that they see.
Yes, please.
No, right?
You need to get out of yourself in terms of the kind of the head talk. But in terms of like proportion, if you are small-busted and big-hipped, which is what I am,
mm-hmm.
so you have less than 2 inches difference between your hips and your bust, then you want to do things that won't throw you off balance and draw attention to that hip area. So for me, being small busted, I want pockets across my chest. I want horizontal lines across my chest. I want ruffles across my chest. I want pockets. I want detail across that area. And I don't want to put that sort of detail around my hip. So I might wear darker clothes on the bottom half and more a pattern on the top. And that's drawing attention up away from a problem area and more towards an area that I want to accentuate. A crossbody bag for me that would draw a horizontal line or a diagonal line right down to my hip and create a whole bunch of visual bulk would throw me off even further. But I could take a bag and tuck it under my arm.
Even bags make a difference.
Oh yeah. I would take a bag and tuck it under my arm and that's going to create more visual bulk right here and keep me in better balance.
Interesting.
And then my friends who have natural accessories in the breast area, which I do not have, they would do things
that
are opposite.
That's me. Right. That's okay.
Yeah. So a crossbody bag would be awesome for you.
Even when it goes right between the boobs and then I just have like the boobs split down the middle.
But ruffles right here probably wouldn't suit you, right?
For so many
reasons.
Do you
want a horizontal line across here?
No.
Do you want ruffles? No.
Never going to want
ruffles. Square pockets? No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because you have natural accessories. Yeah.
Natural accessories. Okay.
So that's an example of body, of understanding your body proportions. Another example would be, are you longer on the second half of your body or the top half of your body? So if you're longer on the bottom half of your body, you have 2 more inches on the bottom half, you can have a lot of fun with where hemlines hit you. This midi skirt trend could be super amazing for you because you've got lots of length to work with. But if you're short and you have short legs and a long torso, you want to do some things to elongate that. So you could wear nude tights or no tights at all and nude shoes, and that's going to create one long line. Or you could have a shorter...
Oh, nude shoes make your legs look longer? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, versus if you have more length on the bottom half of your body, you can do booties and midi skirts and all sorts of fun things. But if you want to elongate that, you want to have just a solid color. So it's all this trickery.
Okay. So, and then what do you think about, like, I'm just curious what your take is on just sizing in between stores in general and just the discrepancy, like a size 28 jean is literally a size 32 jean in someone else. And, you know, how do we reconcile all that? Just cut out the tags and just.
Yeah. Cut out the tags. Stop looking at the number. And if something doesn't fit you, it's on that item of clothing, not on you.
So it's like the clothes' fault.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Jeans don't fit, bad cut.
That's
jeans
your fault.
Stretch, bad quality.
Fuck you, jean.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's not on you. It's on the pants.
It's on the goddamn pants.
It's on the ruffle. It's on the pattern. It's on the texture.
Fucking
it's
ruffles.
On the manufacturer. It's on them. Not
that
yet.
Is a huge mindset shift. If you just blame the clothes instead of yourself, can you imagine how freeing you would feel like when you're getting dressed?
Liberating.
It's not. It's the bathing suit's fault.
Yes, it is.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I think I could work with that.
You can blame COVID if there's any extra weight you're dealing with, and you can blame the clothing versus yourself.
So you just have to go find clothing that's going to do the job that they need to do for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So again, doesn't work. If it doesn't work for you, it's blame those pants.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, the cropped top, it has nothing to do with me having 2 children. It's the crop top. It's not designed right.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Well, it's half a shirt.
Yeah, it's like a missing.
Not even a whole shirt.
So it feels like this is an obvious question, but I want to touch on it a little bit. Like how, in your job, how do you see how women dress affecting the kids that they're raising? Is there a correlation, especially those of us who have girls who are watching? What do we do?
Yeah. So couple things. I love telling my clients 2 things. One is follow the lead of your children and learn a lot from them, and also watch what you're modeling. So Cora is my daughter. She's 6 and a half. I really try to model this idea of body for purpose. Like my body was for a purpose to grow her, to nurture her, to nurse her, to do all the things, right? And so our bodies are for so many things beyond just the beauty aspect. And so I'm sending her that message. And so case in point, we had a wonderful vacation over the summer and I gained weight over COVID. We all did. And I didn't really want to wear a bathing suit, but I wanted to make the memories with her. Mm-hmm. So I got myself a bathing suit and I got one that had some structure, some ruching. I got myself a skirt that tied, but I have cellulite all over the back of my thighs, but I wanted to enjoy the time with her, build the memories. And so she didn't see me trying, like battling it out in the dressing room with these swimsuits, right? She didn't see me disparaging my body. She just saw me being visible, being present, and enjoying the time and making the memories with her and having this wonderful beach vacation. So I got a hat to distract and bring the attention up here. I got a sarong skirt to wrap around. But I, you know, I did all these visual tricks of the eye, but I still didn't feel awesome in a swimsuit, but I wanted to model something different from her. So that's like the advice on, you know, modeling for your children. And then on the flip side, I think there's so much we can learn from our kids. We get hung up on what other people think about us, if this is on trend, if this works for us, if we can get away with it. My little guy, Alexander, he's 4 years old, and he wears Spider-Man underwear because it gives him a superpower. He loves green and he loves blue, and he's like all about it. He doesn't give anything about what anybody's thinking about him. Cora, same thing. She has this creativity and she has this self-expression and just like this completely unadulterated confidence that somehow like we lose over time. We like manage to lose that idea of self-expression, that it can actually be fun to get dressed. It can send a nonverbal message. It could be a form of artistry, of self-expression. It can actually be fun to get dressed. And so I look to my children for that.
That's beautiful. You're right. Kids are so expressive and have so much fun with it. That's amazing. Heather, thank you so much. If you guys, thank you for giving her a round of applause. Heather Hope, House of Color.
Thank you.
Look her up.
I have always felt like you have had much more of your finger on the pulse of style than I have.
Oh. Thank you.
Wasn't a compliment.
I'm just kidding. That's interesting. I would counter by saying you deliberately haven't given a shit about style in the terms of in terms of conventional, like what's in, quote unquote. Like you've always just insisted on having your own style. You know, we've talked about it. You're very vocal about that. Like you just like your own, at least up until recently, I think you're more like into, oh, get those handbags. Those exist now.
Oh, you know, had to like teach me why I needed a handbag.
but I just think it's different, right?
Well, you even like follow people online and stuff who are style icons and like, like you appreciate a good jacket. Like you have like an appreciation for the fashion world, I think, just that I just never was exposed to.
Yeah, I do. I do love. I mean, I
cashmere sweater, like, you know, staples, like you appreciate that stuff and then go off wearing Chacos.
Well, that is why I'll never understand myself, because I will never.
If you guys don't know
wear
what Chacos are, just Google it.
Just Google.
Google 6-foot-tall lesbian shoes, and Tracy's picture during a hike will come up.
I'm just gonna say your current boot game right now isn't too far off from my Chacos, no. So just be careful.
But
what
this
you
is
say.
The thing, the confidence, right? Because I now am just like, and honestly, I think I was really influenced by Heather's interview in a lot of ways, because I really do feel like I have this person inside of me that knows like how I want to have a personal style, like she was saying, but I never feel like truly myself when I try. There's some sort of self-consciousness there, but fuck that, you know, like,
well, what I loved a couple things that she said. First, that permission to be visible to me is so profound, especially as someone who is 6 feet tall and blonde and loud. And I I am constantly told I'm too much in all areas. Mm-hmm. And so I do it oftentimes feel like my clothes
have to downplay you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because who can fucking deal with that intense shit show?
But don't you think
that
that's gone out the window? I mean, remember the first flight we ever took together in your hottest pink sweater? No, it was a scarf. And I literally turned to you and I was like, that scarf is really bright.
So you like couldn't deal with it. I do. I mean, you're never, ever, like, ever going to get me to stop wearing pink, like ever.
Hot, hot, vibrant pink, which freaking now I appreciate it in a very different way. Because I think I had, what were we talking about? The new mom energy. Like those were years ago when I was like in this very different place than I am now.
Totally. So yeah, it's interesting because, so permission to be visible. And then the idea that you're putting on clothes and it's almost like a costume. And I think if I could wager, I would say that's your struggle, is that you put on clothes that you think now, like if you're trying to break out of your, of only wearing black, let's be honest.
I'm literally sit here all in black.
But when you try to break out of it, it doesn't feel authentic because it is in a sense a costume, because you're still, quote, doing what you think you should do rather than what Heather is saying, which is find your own style, find your own vibe, mm-hmm. and wear it without giving two Fs.
Right.
Is different than, okay, well, I don't even understand this crop top with the Mormon collar mm-hmm. and puffy sleeves. It doesn't feel right on me at all, but I guess it's going to make me look cool, so I'm just going to wear it. Like, mm-hmm. those are two totally different approaches to style.
Well, I'm just thinking like, okay, so your cousin.
Natasha.
Like, I look at her and I'm like, that's who is inside of me.
Mm.
And yet, if I tried to dress like her, I might feel like I'm in a costume.
Right. So
finding out, so like my new ugly as shit Uggs that nobody likes except me.
Okay,
I love them.
I don't dislike them. I love them for you.
Thank you. And I love them for me too. And have given, like you said, not one F about the fact that I've been wearing them everywhere. Because they're like a true expression. Like I'm figuring out.
Exactly. This,
right. And so like if I tried to dress like Natasha,
yeah.
because I look at her and I admire her yeah. style very, very much. When you put those clothes on and they're not you, you have to know that.
So when can we just release, like, let people be themselves, which is the first and foremost, mm-hmm. like, love your vibe for you, love my vibe for me, and they don't have anything to do with each other.
Well, it's comparison is the thief of joy,
yeah.
right? So especially when you enter this new world of motherhood.
Well, okay, so we'll talk about this new mom energy. So our friends, Sarah and Stacey you'll hear from later on in the show, she had a great comment. You know, I was talking to them after our live show on Mommy Image, and they were talking about this like new mom energy, that there's this new mom vibe that when your kids are really little, there are these expectations that everyone sort of falls into. And it comes into the, I've got to lose all the baby weight, and I've got to be totally pulled together when I go to preschool and pick them up. And I've got to look like I'm so super cute in my car and with my latte. And it's very new mom. It's the same with, like, I feel like you're so competitive when your kids are younger. Who's talking first? You want them all to be baby geniuses. You want to get them all into school, everything. You know, preschool is such a big deal. Even in early grade school, I remember my husband and I were laughing, like, you know, in first grade, all the parents are in back to school night, and they're like, what's the curriculum? What are they reading? And then by
don't fifth, even get me started on snack talk.
Right. And then by fifth grade, you're like, do I have to go? They're fine. She knows how to read. She's going to be fine. Like, you just like, you get it. And there's this new vibe. There's this new energy that it's very,
it's almost like achiever energy. Like, you have to be the best parent. You have to be what everyone thinks you should be. You have to be like,
and I don't think it's new. I mean, it's June Cleaver.
Oh.
We've talked about this on old podcasts before. The worst thing my mother-in-law ever said to me, she's Scottish and then lived most of her life in England. said, and no, I guess she was still in Scotland, I think, but you know, she just had her first baby and is in this tiny little, very Protestant, very religious, very small village. And she said, you would live in fear. Your place had to be spotless every day. You had to be dressed, makeup on, clothes, house perfectly picked up, everything looking like it's in complete control, because you'd never know who would drop by. And the women, especially from the church, would just drop by just to make sure that your house was clean.
That's gross.
And you lived in perpetual fear of being caught, like, with your pants down, literally. And that has carried on. I mean, first of all, it gets passed on generationally, and we're still there. It's just in a different form. It's just Lululemons now.
I know it exists, right? But I think because when my kids were babies, I had just moved to Denver, I don't think I had the community.
Yeah.
That I think people are like, oh, I don't know. No one has a mom community yet. So I guess I remember my mother having to like force me to put makeup on. Like, I needed to look like shit. It was like the only validating thing to how I felt.
Oh, interesting.
So I was very opposite, but
lot of moms are, but
yeah. So it's like, I know this thing exists because I see it.
But it's that playground vibe. And I've fallen into that. It's like, I tend to, and thank you for saying, I like have a finger in style, but I just feel like generally speaking, I just look like a bag lady, you know, like I'm just, and I don't care. Like, I'm at the playground with my kid. I don't consciously ever think of what my outward appearance is. I'm doing utility. I'm in the middle of 14 things. And so I would always show up at preschool or the playground just in whatever I could throw on, and then realize I'm there with these beautiful women who have these great clothes, which I never know where they get them from.
Right.
You know, like, where do you get those dresses? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they just look good, and their hair is clean, and their faces are dewy. And then I'm like Gollum in the corner, you know, and that's a thing. And I for sure felt that pressure.
Yeah, it's so funny. I feel like I've maybe blocked it out, but I definitely have a bit of spotlight syndrome as opposed to what you're saying in general. Like, I always feel like everybody's looking at me.
Oh.
And so,
because you want them to, or because
I mean, I think it's a total like weird narcissistic, like spot, like, you know, like when you get out of, this is how this was described to me. Like, you get out of a pool, and you suck in your stomach, and you like, because you think that everybody's looking at, nobody is looking at you.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's this thing. Brené Brown talked about it. Ever heard of her? never heard of her. And so it's fascinating because when she said it, like, my whole life clicked. I was like, oh, I just have like thought I was the center of my own movie for like my whole life.
Oh.
And so, yes, when the babies were babies, and I, like, my mom was like, how long does it take for you to put makeup on? And I was like, I don't know, 5 minutes. And she was like,
mm-hmm. Why don't you go do that? Yeah.
Yeah. And no biggie. I mean, that's a different generation too. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then it is like meeting new people. Like, I always want those people to find me
beautiful.
Something. I don't know. It is a really weird thing to admit when you're 44 years old. Like, you've spent your life kind of overthinking what people are thinking about you.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I just want people to not be scared of me. I'm like, well, I just want different. Them to like me. Like, I'm just like, just don't. I'm not what you think I am.
I think being a tall kid like you, I mean, like, you, I was always affected by the fact that I was so incredibly awkward and just wanted to be beautiful. And you were affected that you were this big personality and this 6 foot tall person when you were in fifth grade, you know? So these psychologies affect us all these years later when we're literally just trying to pick out something at Target.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. And it, you know, and then there's the flip side, which I know you and I both struggle with too, which is, should we be paying this much attention? Should we care this much? You know, should we really care about like what we're wearing or if we look cute or not? But the truth is, to Heather's point, you feel better, and there ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, I have a girlfriend who wears makeup every single day.
I have so many girlfriends like that.
And I've started to wear it more and more only because I'm aging and
it's necessary. Really kind of necessary.
But like, I get why people have these routines,
yeah.
Because, you know, or they used to say like, put on a little lipstick, because if you can physically, it's like why people do yoga or people work out. I mean, how many responses did we get from moms when we asked the question about what they do for confidence that were like a yoga class workout. Or a killer workout, yeah. Strong is sexy and, you know, easier said than done, but sure. Like, hell yeah, for yeah. those women doing it because they just feel better. And that is human. That's normal.
That is, but, and it's interesting. And is it a construct that we created? Is it a box we put ourselves in to feel, to finally feel great when you're wearing a great pair of shoes versus just if all things were equal and we were all naked, could we
all things would not be equal if we were all naked. It'd be very unequal.
Very unequal. Would we, would there be a different form of confidence? Would, and
oh, taking ultimately, fashion out of it.
Ultimately, confidence comes from inside. So how much do we marry the inside with the outside? And then how much do we just say, I am who I am?
And then very reasonably express that through our clothing because we do wear clothes in this society.
We do have, and we have to.
So can we make that personal style a confident choice versus a keeping up with the Joneses or a I
throwaway choice
or yeah, or I hide myself in my workout clothes because I just can't deal, which is also totally fine. Maybe that's, I mean, that's certainly my thing. I love athleisure wear. I'm like the fact that it became a thing in the last 10 years is like the luckiest thing that ever happened to me.
To every woman, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
love it.
Even, I mean, there's, I can't, I'm like going through my litany of friends and stuff. Like there's no one that at some point isn't grateful for
leggings
and a top to go run errands in. Like that is a godsend for sure. I mean, I think we've taken it a little extreme. Like I think it's okay to wear structured clothes, but
I can't even wear structured
no,
clothes. They're
I,
like
I
not
you.
Comfortable.
No.
I don't know when the last time I wore a regular bra was and not a sports bra because why would I do that to myself?
No, you're lucky. They haven't, sports bras haven't evolved with my level of boob yet, no matter how many times
like
they say
unibrow.
They have. Or they're just still droopy.
Oh, in a sports bra?
I mean, maybe for our do it episode, I just go get a boob lift, breast reduction. Really
oh yeah,
what
that's
I want.
Easy. Just go
do
stop
that.
By and get
they
that.
They just are just like, I'm just constantly like, even my husband, I was like, don't they just need to go up? Like they need to go up.
Well,
that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, so it's interesting, you know, and I do struggle with that, especially like, you know, even with my, I've talked about this with you just on like a more spiritual journey, letting your ego fall away and letting that die off so that you really are just living more heart-centered. Where does that part of adorning yourself, dressing yourself, fixing yourself up?
When is it for your soul and when is it not?
Yeah, when is it ego? And then ultimately, again, does it even matter? And we talk about this, you know, we talked about this in the show, joked about it, like all I want to do is just live on a farm and milk goats. I mean, can you still be cute when you milk goats? Does it matter? But
it matters
does
how you feel.
And we're in this human experience, so it's not changing, you know?
Well, and we can end with this. When I feel my shittiest, or when I feel like I look my worst, or when we've just watched 3 episodes of Jeopardy because I'm so cool, and my glasses on and my pajamas, and I see the way my kids look at me, like I'm the most beautiful thing on the planet. That's all. That's all that matters.
That's amazing.
You know, they look at us. They look in our eyes. Bo looks at me. You know, it's a little creepy, you guys. But he looks at me, you know, and like stares at me like the love of my life and kisses me.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what I'm wearing.
No.
You know?
I mean, our girls might a little bit. Well, I mean, my daughter, it's so infrequent. Like, she'll just be like, you smell fancy. Like, she... like when the hairspray has been added and there's extra product.
Well, it's very rare.
Me.
So yeah,
I know. Yeah. I know, but it's true. So and she's the first to tell me I look pretty.
Yeah.
But also, you know, they don't care. They are thrilled when we're in our pajamas.
Yeah.
But that's different. That's a different section of humans that we interact with, right? That's not adults. And we don't get dressed for our kids. We get dressed for other women, let's be honest.
But when you, like you were saying, like fulfilling your soul.
Yeah.
when you think about it, like, that's what matters. It's that our kids, you know.
So then permission to wear pajamas for the rest of
the day. Permission to wear pajamas, but permission to take photos. Permission to understand that the only thing your kids will have of you when you're gone are pictures. Stop hiding from photos because you're not wearing a cute outfit. I mean, like, really think about that kind of stuff, because they need our physicality to our children is just very different than it is to other women and to ourselves.
Well, and your current reality is going to be different in 10 minutes. And I was struck when it was Kate's 40th birthday, I did this photo album for her. So I was going through a decade of life with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking back at these moments where I remember hating that photo. I remember hating posing for that photo. And then I'm like, what were you worried about? Mm-hmm. And I just looked at a decade of personal shame, never, ever feeling like I even belonged in front of the camera. And so that's when the ego, you've got to just let that go, because whatever you think you look like now, I promise you in 3 years, you're going to look at the ogre you think you are now and be like, what the hell was I?
Because it's only going to get worse and worse, you're saying.
But we're just beautiful all the time, you know? And I think, like, it's so cliche, but so many women say, you know, if I could tell my younger self, is stop worrying about how you look.
Yeah.
Because you look better than you think you do. Maybe that's coming from someone who doesn't have a lot of, in the end, not a lot of confidence, like constantly judging myself.
Yeah.
I know that there's women out there that just like wake up and they're just like, hell yes, this is coming at you. I think so. We know some.
Do we?
We do. We do do. But we're not them.
Good to know. Noted.
We're not them. Maybe one day.
When you were going through your initial like list of questions about getting older and going gray and things like that, I don't. They are not separate things, right? Like, so do I enjoy getting older? Fuck yes, because I get away from that 21, 22, 23, whatever sense of mentality. And it has made me so much more comfortable in my skin to be like, take it or leave it, bitches. Sorry. I'm wearing Vans and big jeans and I don't give a fuck. And then I feel like that cascades into, am I going to change my hair or dye my hair? I used to, and I loved it. I had a fantastic color person. She was awesome. I felt so pretty. But then like, as I got older, it damaged my hair. So I stopped. And I guess like part of my whole thing here is like, we're all at different stages as moms. Like, I have a 10-year-old boy who's a crazy person. He's literally a crazy person, but he's my crazy person. And I taught him all that shit. So I'm super proud of it. I'm super comfortable with it. And as you get older and as you become like more into being your mom role, it gets so good and comfortable and calming. Don't be scared of getting older. Don't be scared of your, like, I call this my skunk, like, you know, streak.
Because it smells?
No.
Okay, just checking.
It doesn't smell. But I don't know. I love being a mom, and I love sharing that bond with a lot of other types of moms, and you guys are all beautiful. You're all fucking beautiful in all your own ways.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Lose 10 pounds? No, I just accommodated my entire wardrobe to be 10 pounds bigger. Yes. Like, I can't. When you put on something that makes you feel good, mine happens to be hoodies. They feel like really, really safe for me, or like Wonder Woman shirts. Yes. I am Wonder Woman to my son and my husband, and that's all I fucking care about. And my dog Merlin, he's a crazy person too, but he's mine. So when I was filling out the survey and you guys were going through the stuff, so I was thinking about this idea of like where our
concepts of our own image comes from.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like it came from myself. Right. And I was wondering why, and I had this epiphany that, like, when I was growing up, I was really skinny and tall and, like, really scrawny, and I got teased like crazy for being skinny. And then I got, now I'm in my 40s and I'm like totally self-conscious about being overweight. And I had this amazing moment where I just went, I'm the avocado, where I like missed that. Like in the beginning, I wasn't ripe enough. And now I'm like overly ripe. And like, didn't we all have that moment where we were like, wait, I had like a perfect week somewhere in like my mid-20s and I missed it?
Oh, you definitely, we missed it.
I'm fucking pissed. And I know it was that week where that really hot guy at the like Latin bar hit on me and I like didn't take advantage of it. So anyway, so don't, I mean, like, it's not too late to miss your perfect avocado moment. It's not, you're still in it. So.
Well, did y'all have fun?
They can't answer you.
Well, if you did, can you please share this episode? Just share it. Sharing is caring. Just text it to like 15 to 500 of your closest friends. Post it on your social. Put it on a Facebook post. Say how much you liked it.
Story it.
Yeah. Just take a screen grab of this episode and story it. Give a little comment. Leave a review. We'll repost you if you story it, and we would just really appreciate it. Did we mention that we'd really love it if you share this episode?
Do you mind sharing?
Just share. It would really help. But speaking of texting, why not also just text a mom right now and just tell her she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Tell her she looked great the other night. Tell her that you love her style. I think if we've learned anything from this episode, those mentions, those comments mean a lot. And that's what Band of Mothers is about. So go on and text somebody and give her a nice compliment.
Just give out a rando text. It's going to make you feel good and her feel amazing.
Yes. Good karma.
Good karma. And if you do not yet follow us on social, please, please, please go to Instagram at Band of Mothers Official and follow us, because you'll hear all about episodes that are coming up, all about our live show that's here in Denver monthly, and lots of other funny, fun stuff that Tracy and I attempt to put out there on the World Wide Web. And if you are on Facebook, then please join our Band of Mothers Facebook group. It's a super high vibe, cool place to be. And it is like a no judgies, just awesome mom communication resource. And we also post on there new episodes and things that we're looking for and speaking of.
Yeah. So this is, you guys, we got lots of scoop we need from you for these upcoming episodes. So next week, we're going to be focusing on beauty and beauty hacks for busy moms. We've got a great guest lined up and lots of fun things to talk about, but we want to know what your beauty hacks are. Do you have some secret mask that, you know, your mom's mom has been making all these years that you do? Do you use some sort of secret procedure that no one's heard about that changed everything for you? Drop us a message, bandofmothers.com/share-your-story, and let us know what your beauty hacks are, even if it's as simple as putting on mascara or what kind of mascara you love.
Right.
You know, or, oh my gosh, this lip plumper from Ulta actually legit makes your lips look fuller and right. It's amazing. We want to know all the scoop. So please leave us a message, bandofmothers.com/share-your-story. And then also we're going to be moving later into discussing plastic surgery. So if you've had a breast reduction or breast enlargement or any type of plastic surgery or a mommy makeover, call and leave a message and tell us your experience.
We want to hear about your Botox. We want to hear about your fillers. We want to hear if anyone can help me solve the neck problem.
You and me both, sister.
I want to hear all about it.
Yes. So thank you for joining us and we'll catch you next week.
See you next week.
Love ya. Don't forget to listen to Band of Mothers podcast weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.